Interrogating a nitwit requires just the right technique, don't you see? It's not as easy as you might suppose. All right, Drover, we're entering into the factual phase of the interrogation. In ordinary language, that means that we're searching for the facts, only the facts.
Oh, good.
Question, where did you see this so-called bone monster?
Well, let me think here. He was up by the yard gate.
That checks out. What did he do that made you think he was stealing my bones?
Well, he stole your bones.
That checks out, too. How many bones, Drover?
3.
Describe the bone monster.
Well, let's see here.
He closed one eye and twisted his mouth.
He was big and shaggy and looked like a gorilla. A big, shaggy gorilla.
I marched several steps away, gathering my thoughts. Suddenly, I whirled around. All right, Drover, I can reveal that we've run your story through our files at Data Control, and it checks out. We're now convinced that you're telling the truth.
That's weird.
What?
I said, oh, good. Oh, boy. I'm so happy.
Exactly. Now that we've cleared the first hurdle, we'll zoom in for more specifics and finer details. I studied him out of the corner of my eye for a moment. Drover, there's just one part of your story that doesn't mesh. You have told this court that you saw the bone monster in the act of stealing my bones. Is that correct?
I think that's what I said.
That is what you said.
Oh, good, because that's sure what I wanted to say.
Great. But there's a missing chink in the puzzle. If the bone monster actually stole my bones, how did you end up with them?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. Did you think it up yourself?
I studied the claws on my right paw. Oh, yes, I handle all these interrogations myself, and coming up with probing questions is just part of my job.
Boy, you did a great job.
Well, thanks, Drover. It's kind of you to say that. A lot of dogs wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah, it was a great question. I really enjoyed it.
Good, that's... I seem to have lost my train of thought. Where were we?
Well, let's see here. I think you just asked me about the weather.
Yes, of course. How's the weather been, Drover?
Oh, pretty good. Not too hot, not too cold. We could use another rain.
Am I boring you? You keep yawning.
No, sometimes I yawn, that's all. See?
Yes, I saw that. But back to the weather. It's getting dry, isn't it? I waited for his answer. When it didn't come, I swung my gaze around just in time to see his eyelids slam shut. I was about to waken him with a thunderous roar. I mean, after all, the little dunce had fallen asleep while court was in session, and sleeping under oath is one of the many things I don't allow on this ranch. But I caught myself just in time. You see, a plan had begun to form in the darkest outskirts of my mind. It suddenly occurred to me that the bones were sitting there, unwatched and unguarded. And they were, after all, my bones. I had won them fair and square in a scuffle with the cat, and gathering information about the bone monster could, wait. I wasn't sure I believed his story anyway. I mean, who ever heard of a bone monster? I cut my eyes from side to side. No one was watching. On silent pause, I crept over to the pile of bones, loaded them up in my enormous jaws, and we're talking about all three at once, and crept away from the gas tanks on padded paws that made not a sound. 10 feet away, I shifted into a rapid walk, then into a trot, and finally into an easy gliding lope. And whilst I was doing all this, my mind was racing. Where would I deposit this treasure of bones? I considered a list of secret locations and rejected all but one for the same reason. The ground was hard, and I hate to dig. Having shrunk my list of options down to one, my decision became very easy. I would deposit my treasury of bonds in Sally Mae's garden, for her husband had tilled it up just weeks before. Perhaps in some strange manner, known only to women, she had perceived that her loyal dog would soon need a soft place to bury some precious bones. They are very perceptive, you know. The ladies, that is. Sometimes they seem able to read minds and forecast the future. It's called Women's Institution, and it can be pretty spooky. Well, if Sally Mae's institution had caused her to plow up the garden just for me, it seemed totally right that I should accept her act of kindness. I mean, she was probably aware that digging in hard ground will dull a dog's claws, and that sharp claws are very important to the overall security program of the ranch. It all fit together. Only one obstacle stood in my way. The alleged garden was enclosed inside a hogwire fence, but it happened that hogwire fences were no big deal to me. Clenching my enormous jaws around the bones, I went into a deep crouch, took a huge gulp of air, and launched myself into the air. Charge, bonsai! Okay, we had forgotten about that strand of barbed wire above the hogwire. What we had was 4 feet of hog wire with a single strand of barbed wire above it. And that small fact had altered all our careful calculations and equations and so forth. It was no big deal. It could have happened to any dog, and it merely etched another mark into a nose that had already been etched by the stupid cat. And by the way, those had been lucky punches. Anyways, I made contact with the almost invisible top wire and took a rude tumble to the ground. Knocked the breath out of me for a second, but I'm no quitter. I reprogrammed all the launch data, sank into another deep crouch, and went flying over the top like a tomato plant. It appeared that she, Sally Mae, that is, she had not only tilled the garden, but had also set out some tomato plants, so to speak. Nobody had informed me of this, and it's very hard to operate a ranch when nobody tells you anything. They expect us to know everything, and they're very quick to pass out blame when a small mistake is made, but ask for current information, and everybody's too busy to file their reports. But the important thing was that I had made it into the garden area and had wrecked only one of Sally Mae's tomato plants. One or two. Several. But it was a small price to pay for a successful mission, and I knew that Sally Mae would understand. I mean, those bones were a very precious cargo. Once in the garden area, I set up shop and went to work. I dug a hole in the soft dirt near the northeast corner, dropped the first precious bone into it, and covered it up with my, well, with my nose. Why do we dogs dig holes with our paws and cover them up with our noses? I've seen it happen over and over, and it's always the same. To be perfectly honest, I don't understand it, but I do it very well, so maybe it doesn't matter. I mean, if you can do it, who cares if you understand it? And if you understand it but can't do it, what's the point? The point was that I buried the first bone, then hurried on and buried the other two, following the exact same procedure, digging with paws, covering with nose. On completing the third and final bone deposit, I paused to rest a moment, to gaze out upon a job well done, and suddenly the silence was shattered by a voice coming out of nowhere. "Hey, I had thought I was all alone in the world. Just me and my precious buried bones and the warm glow of a job well done." But hearing the voice behind me, I knew that I was not alone in the world. The voice startled me, jolted me, so to speak, out of my dreamy state of mining. I jumped, twisted my entire body to the left, and heard myself deliver a kind of gurgling sound. It wasn't my best growl, I'll admit, but very few of us are at our best in such awkward moments. The important thing is that I did manage to fire off a growl or two before, well, before landing in the midst of another tomato plant. And yes, maybe I transplanted a few sprigs of lettuce. She had, Sally Mae, that is. It appeared that she had planted a few rows of lettuce, but of course nobody had turned that report in either, and when they don't turn in their paperwork, how am I supposed to know where the silly lettuce is planted? Who can run a ranch when he has to tiptoe through the tulips and lettuce and tomatoes? We have to keep the big picture in mind, don't you see? And I turned all my sensory equipment towards the sound of the voice, half expecting to see a huge, shaggy... Okay, relax. It was Slim. He was leaning on a fence post, grinning at me. Have you noticed that Slim always seems to be leaning on something? It's true. He never stands up straight on his own two legs. He leans. This could be caused by simple laziness. I've suspected for a long time that Slim is, at heart and deep down where it really counts, a lazy man. Or perhaps his body is crooked and it just naturally falls into a slouching state whenever he's at rest, which is fairly often if you ask me. If they ever gave me full authority to run this ranch, I would... But never mind that. He was draped over the corner post and he was grinning at me.
Hey, Pooch, has anybody ever told you that you've got mud on your nose?
There wasn't a simple answer to that question. Of course, I knew that mud existed on the end of my nose, but technically speaking, nobody had ever pointed it out before. But I was aware of it, and I was also aware of why it was there.
Have you been playing backhoe with your nose?
No, I certainly had not. Okay, maybe I had done some backhoe type work with my nose, but I hadn't been playing. It was very serious business. Heads of ranch security don't play. We work, which was a concept he wouldn't understand.
You know, Hank, only your best friends would tell you this, but you look pretty silly standing there with a mud ball on the end of your nose.
I held my head at a proud angle and glared daggers at him. Not only was I not ashamed to have mud on my nose, I was proud of it. So there. Small minds will always find something to ridiculate. Ridicule, I guess it should be. Something to ridicule. When you do serious backhoe work with your nose, it becomes muddy. And that was nothing to ridiculate. He chuckled to himself and started walking towards the machine shed.
Well, if I was you, Pup, I believe I'd get out of that garden. Sally Mae is liable to take a dim view of you planting bones in the midst of her tomato plants.
I had to admit that he had... Gee, was it so obvious that I had... that a strong wind or something had blown down a plant or two? Maybe so, and... yes, leaving the garden area before certain parties arrived seemed a pretty good idea, even though the idea had come from one of the smaller minds on the ranch. You probably think that I left the garden right then. Not true. First, I scanned the entire garden area and committed to memory the locations of all three of my precious bones. See, a lot of your ordinary ranch mutts will go to the trouble of burying a bone and then leave. Only later will they realize that they have no idea where they left it. That falls into the category of dumb behavior. If you're going to bury a bone, doesn't it make sense to remember where you left it? Of course it does. That's what I did. And then I made a rapid exit, so to speak, from the scene of the accident. I felt pretty bad about the damage, but history has proven over and over that if you're going to make an omelet, you have to break a few tomatoes. On the other hand, I've heard Sally Mae and other leading experts on gardening say that tomato plants actually do better after they have been flailed, I believe they call it. Flailed or frailed or flogged, whipped, beaten, thrashed with a stick. No kidding. Some people whack on their tomato plants with a stick. So, in a sense, you might say that I had actually helped Sally Mae with some of her gardening work. Hey, I was glad to do it. Sally Mae was a very busy wife and mother, and she had no business thrashing tomato plants in the hot glare of the sun's hot glare. I made my way back to the gas tanks. Rubber was just as I had left him. Conked out. Snoring, wheezing, twitching, grunting, and doing all the other things he does in his sleep. I sat down and watched him. Did I make such noises in my sleep? I didn't think so. I also took this opportunity to figure out how I would break the sad news to him. At last, I came up with a plan, which began with a gentle wake-up call. Wake up, half-stepper! Arise and sing! Well, you won't believe this. I hardly believed it myself. And I was there and saw the whole thing. Before my very eyes, the little mutt arose and sang. Here's how it went. Only I'm going to do the singing instead of Drover. But I must warn you, I can't sing as badly as he. Murgle Skipper pork chop on a summer day.
Smurgle Skipper pork chop on a summer day. Skittle Ricky Snickle Fritz eat a bale of hay. Elephants, sugar ants, steak, fat, snork, pork chop, mork.
Murgle Skipper pork chop on a summer day. Skittle Ricky Snickle Fritz eat a bale of hay. Elephants, sugar ants, steak, fat, snork, pork chop, mork.
I listened to the entire mess. As far as I knew, Drover had done very little singing in his lifetime, and it certainly showed. It was pretty bad. I cleared my throat. Excuse me, but unless I'm badly mistaken, you are not only sleeping in the middle of the day, but you're also singing on the ranch's time. His eyes came into focus, and that silly grin of his slithered across his mouth.
Oh, hi, Hank. You got a mud ball on the end of your nose.
Oh, yes, I turned away and swiped my nose with a paw. Thanks. I can't imagine how it got there.
Maybe you were digging.
Don't be absurd, Drover, and don't try to change the subject. The point is that you were singing on ranch time.
Me? I was singing?
That's correct. On the ranch's time and during business hours.
I'll be darned. I can't even sing.
I noticed. Now brace yourself, Drover. I have some terrible news.
I don't think I can stand it. I just woke up and you know how I am in the morning.
It's not morning, son. The day's half over.
No, it's still morning. See where the sun is?
I beamed him a glare. Do you want to argue the time of day or hear some terrible news?
I think I'd rather argue. I hate terrible news. It always seems so terrible.
Exactly, and there's a reason for that. Terrible news seems terrible because it is. Now sit down and be quiet and brace yourself. I have to tell you something. He sat down and braced himself.
How terrible is it?
Be quiet and you might find out.
Okay.
He squeezed his eyes shut.
What if I can't stand it?
That's why I told you to sit down. When you can't stand something, you should sit.
Oh, that makes sense. I guess I'm ready.
Very well. Here we go. Grubber, it's my unpleasant duty to inform you.
That's enough. I can't take any more.
I haven't told you anything yet, you little weenie.
Yeah, but it's already so bad that my leg's starting to hurt. Maybe you could start with the good news first.
All right, we'll try it your way. The good news, Grover, is that your bones have disappeared. His eyes popped open. His jaw fell several inches.
That's not good news. That's terrible news.
I'm sorry, son. I had to trick you.
Yeah, but you tricked me.
That's what I just said, Grover. But I tricked you for your own good. Somebody had to trick you into facing reality as it really is.
I want to go back to bed. I want my bones. Oh, my leg.
I gave him a pat on the shoulder. I know this is hard on you, Grover, but there's more. I looked into his eyes and lowered my voice to a whisper. For you see, Grover, your bones were stolen by the bone monster. His eyes grew as wide as saucers.
You mean he was here?
That's correct.
The bone monster was here?
Exactly.
While I was asleep?
I've run out of ways of saying yes, Drubber, but yes. All those things you have said are true and correct.
Oh, my gosh!
He sat down and began scratching his left ear with his left hind leg. I noticed all these tiny details.
Tell me what happened.
All right, let's see here. I was giving you an important lecture on something. I don't recall the subject matter at the moment.
Yeah, it was pretty boring and I fell asleep.
I beamed him a hot glare. Do you want to tell the story or shall I?
No, you better do it because I don't know what happened.
Fine. I'll tell the story and you concentrate on being quiet. You fell asleep. I left to do a quick sweep of the corrals and feed barn. On my return, I was astonished to see this creature standing in your bedroom.
Oh, my God! What did he look like?
Just as you described him, Grover. A huge, hairy, shaggy, gorilla-type creature.
With red eyes that blinked on and off?
Exactly.
And long fangs?
Same guy. His teeth had begun to chatter.
Oh, my gosh, Hank. It must have been the bone monster.
Pretty scary, huh? You probably think there wasn't a bone monster, that I was just making it up. That's what I thought, too, but you'll soon find out. You'll see. I had Drover's full attention.
What did he do?
Well, let me think. Oh, yes. He looked down at you and licked his chops. Almost as though he were thinking of eating you, Grover.
Oh, my gosh! It's a good thing I didn't wake up. I'd have died, Hank. Just died. What did he do then?
Well, he didn't eat you.
Oh, good!
Instead, he saw the three bones between your paws. He glanced over both shoulders, snatched them up with a big hairy hand, and lumbered off to the northwest. By this time, Drover had crawled underneath his gunny sack bed. Nothing showed but his stubbed tail.
Where do you reckon he went? And do you think he'll come back?
I'm guessing that he went to Spook Canyon, Drover. That's about the spookiest place on the ranch. And as to whether he'll be back, we just don't know the answer to that one. I could see the gunny sack shaking.
I'll never be able to sleep again, not with him running around.
I guess the next question is, do you want to send a scout patrol into Spook Canyon and try to recover your bones? He poked his nose out the west side of the gunny sack. I could just barely see one of his eyes.
Who'd be in the scout patrol?
The entire amassed forces of the security division, Drover. Or, to put it another way, you. His nose and eye vanished.
You know, Hank, the way this old leg's been acting up, I probably better stay close to the gas tanks.
Yes.
That's what I thought. And bone monsters have to eat, too, just like the rest of us. And maybe if he has steak bones to eat, he won't be trying to eat us.
I caught myself smiling. Good point, Grover. I hadn't thought of that. So what you're saying is that you're willing to drop the whole thing and not file charges in the case.
Oh, yeah, you bet. I was never so happy to lose three bones.
Bingo. My net worth had just zoomed into the stratosphere. I was now the sole owner of three of the best bones in Texas. And Drover was happy about it. What a deal. Well, whatever you think, Drover. It's your life, and they were your bones. And by the way, can you come out now? The bone monster left 30 minutes ago. His nose appeared.
Oh, I think I'll just stay here for a while longer, just in case. My leg needs a rest anyway.
Fine, but I'll expect you to be ready for night patrol. We'll move out at 1800 hours, sharp.
Night patrol? What about the bone monster?
Sure, invite him to come along. The more the merrier.
Oh, my leg!
I left him quivering under his gunny sack and went on about my business. I felt great. It was a beautiful spring morning, and I had three wonderful bones in the bank. What more could a dog ask of this old life? I headed up the hill, past the yard gates, past the machine shed, through the shelter belt, and onward and northward to the county road. It had occurred to me, don't you see, that I hadn't worked traffic in several days, and that was too long. I hate to let traffic slide, but sometimes it can't be helped. I get so busy with investigations and monster reports and so forth that I can't do a thorough job with traffic. And I always regret it. I mean, when you skip a few days of parking cars on the county road, those guys get to thinking it's their road. And they'll start driving like mechanics. Maniacs, I guess it is. They start driving like maniacs, hogging the road, expending the speed limit, and disregarding all our rules and regulations. Well, you know where I stand on those issues. I don't allow them. And the sooner those guys figure it out, the happier we'll all be. Imagine my surprise when I topped that little hill north of the house and saw two unidentified pickups parked on the side of the road. My road, that is. They appeared to be just sitting there, using my road as a parking lot. And I guess you know that I don't allow such things, especially when the guilty parties don't have permission. The farther I went, the madder I got. Those guys would pay dearly for this. Even though I had just made a killing in the bone market and was now a fabulously wealthy dog, I was in no mood to be generous. By George, if they wanted a free parking space, they could go somewhere else. If I drew closer, I began sifting clues and memorizing tiny details. It was two pickups, all right. One red and one white. The red one was parked behind the white one, and the driver of the red one had gotten out and was standing beside the white one. They appeared to be talking. The drivers, not the pickups. The drivers appeared to be talking. I could hear the low murmur of their voices. That was a pretty important clue right there. They were murmuring. Why would two drivers of two pickups be murmuring to each other on the side of a county road on a pretty spring day? It struck me as pretty fishy, and I had every intention of getting to the bottom of the barrel. 50 yards out, I fired off a warning bark. Sometimes that'll send them fleeing in terror. I mean, once they realize that they've been caught in the act by the head of ranch security, a lot of these loafers and deadbeats will quit the country, never to be seen again. That's not what they did. Instead, they... Well, I couldn't see that they did much of anything, actually, which provided me with another important clue. Those guys had no idea who or whom they were fixing to go up against. And maybe they weren't real smart on top of that. By this time, I had abandoned all hope of settling this thing in an easy or peaceful manner. Obviously, I would have to kick tails and take names and maybe even tear a few doors off a few pickups. I hated to be so drastic about it, but some guys just don't take hints. I rumbled up to the first pickup, which happened to be the red one in the rear. The rear of the pickup was red, but so was the front. It was red all over, in other words, but it buoyed. I rumbled up to the second pickup in line. I chose it at random for no particular reason. As far as I was concerned, one was just as guilty as the other. Without wasting a single second of my time, I marched straight to the right rear wheel and proceeded to mark it with secret encoding fluid. Once we have set a tire, we feed the secret coding information into data control. For days and weeks thereafter, we can call up a CEF report and trace the location of every tire of every vehicle we have CEFed. Pretty snazzy, huh? Maybe you thought this was a sharecropper outfit, staffed by a couple of dimwit dogs. Ha! Far from it. Over the years, we have upgraded our equipment and brought in the very latest up-to-date high-tech instruments that help us in our never-ending battle against who or whomever it is that we're against. The villains of this world, the slackers and the trespassers, cattle rustlers and road hogs, and the list goes on and on. On most of your ordinary ranches, your ordinary ranch dogs merely mark the tires. Not us, fellers. We encode them with secret encoding fluid, and suddenly and all at once, I had a feeling, a strange, creepy feeling, that I was being watched. I rolled my eyes upward. Sure enough, there was the face of a dog staring down at me. While continuing to set the tire, I began memorizing every detail of the alleged face. How many dogs can do both those jobs at once? Very few. It requires tremendous powers of concentration, because if you happen to get the two tasks mixed up, well, it can lead to water on the brain. I lifted my eyes, and here's what I saw. Two big sad eyes, one mouth, one nose, two long floppy ears. If I had been forced to give a quick analysis of the face, I would have guessed that it belonged to some kind of hound dog, either a basset or a beagle. I finished up the CEF procedure, scratched up some gravel with my front paws. That gravel scratching seems to help set or fix the encoding fluid. And turned my full attention to the trespasser in the pickup. I broke the long, icy silence. You seem to be staring at me, fella. Is there some reason for that?
Well, I was just a-wondering what you were doing down there, I guess, is why I was staring. Are you wetting down the tires?
It may appear that's what I'm doing, but in fact of actuality, it's quite a bit more complicated than that.
Oh, well, I probably wouldn't understand it then. I'm kind of slow.
Yes. I had already picked up that clue, that he was slow, to use his word. And suddenly I had the feeling that... Say, pal, haven't we met before?
Yep, sure have. Name's Ralph. They call me Dog Pound Ralph, 'cause I stay at the dog pound. You visited me twice at the pound.
I began pacing. Yes, of course. It's all coming back to me now. Don't you see what this means? You're Dog Pound Ralph.
Well, that's what I thought.
Yes, yes, of course. I knew I'd seen you before. Your face, the mournful eyes, the drooping jowls, they all add up to you, Ralph, and they will never add up to anyone else.
Good, I reckon.
You might recall, Ralph, that I'm the guy who broke you out of prison and saved you from a miserable existence as a jailbird.
Yep, either that or I broke you out 'cause you had just eat a bar of soap.
No, you're wrong, Ralph. I had been poisoned by my enemies. They had plotted to poison me with a deadly hydrophobia virus.
It was soap, you dope. Your sister fed you soap because you wouldn't take a hint and go home.
Would I just stand there and take this kind of insult from a jailbird dog who was trespassing on my ranch? You'll soon find out. We glared at each other for several seconds. Then, I broke the icing and walked a few steps away. Okay, Ralph, have it your way. So, what brings you down here? He began scratching his left ear with his left hind leg. I waited. He was a slow scratcher.
Me and Jimmy Joe Dogcatcher are gonna camp out at the lake and fish all night.
My eyes fell on two fishing rods in the cab. Yes, that fits. He stopped scratching and looked at me.
Did you ask, was I having fits?
No, I did not. I said, that fits.
Oh, I thought, can't hear so good when I'm scratching.
He went back to scratching.
Did I mention that there's a lady dog in that white pickup?
My eyes popped open. Suddenly, I was wide awake. What? A lady dog? You mean I've been listening to you all this time and there's a lady dog only 50 feet away?
Uh-huh. I wanted to go talk to her, only I'm too bashful. I'm always afraid they'll laugh at my long ears.
I studied his long ears. They are pretty long, aren't they? I mean, I have nothing against long ears, Ralph, but those may be the longest ears I ever saw. He heaved a deep, mournful sigh.
See, that's why I can't talk to the girls. They just end up talking about my big ears.
Those are definitely some amazing ears, Ralph. Do you ever step on them when you walk?
Uh-huh. All the time. It's pretty embarrassing.
I'll bet. Well, I leaped to my feet. I'll march over to that pickup and give you a few lessons on how to impress the women folk.
Oh, good. Can I watch?
Sure, watch and take notes. You might as well learn from one of the best in the business. I left him there with his big ears and made my way around to the second pickup. Before I got there, I slowed my pace to a manly swagger and let my eyes drift up to the Mercy. She was a beagle. Surely one of the most gorgeous beagles ever to draw breath. She was looking into the rear glass of the pickup and primping on her face. When I came into view, she saw me in the glass.
Well, well, she gushed in a sultry voice. Mirror, mirror on the wall, look who's coming, big and tall. Hello there, big boy.
I sat down and beamed her a rakish smile. And then, in my deepest, most malodorous voice, I said,
Howdy, ma'am.
Unless my eyes deceive me, you are the lovely Miss Scamper. She fluffed up her ears, then turned and came floating over to the tailgate, wearing a foxy little smile. She fluttered her... Mercy, she fluttered those long eyelashes, and I almost forgot to breathe.
You're pretty cute yourself, Wolfie. Do we have a name for you?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Hank the Cowbell. Hank the Cowdog. Head of Ranch Security. At your service, ma'am.
Ooh. Are we a pretty important dog? Is that what we're saying?
Well, I'm not one to boast or bag. Boast or brag, that is. But it's been said that, yes, I'm a fairly important dog. She studied the claws on her right front paw.
Are we merely important, or are we also rich?
Funny that you should ask. As a matter of fact, I recently made a huge fortune in the bone market. One eyebrow twitched.
Ooh, little fortunes don't thrill me, but I can be impressed by huge ones.
Well, I've got one. I also write poetry, speak many languages, and do tricks.
You're a busy little fellow, aren't you? So, what's causing all the dust?
Huh? Dust? It was then that I noticed a small cloud of dust that had risen around us. Oh, the dust. Huh. My best guess, Miss Scamper, is that you've caused my tail to wag extra hard, and it's kicking up a small cloud of dust, so to speak.
That's a pretty smart tail, but maybe we could slow it down now that we're friends.
Sure, you bet. I punched in the commands for relaxed tail. It didn't work. I shot a glance at Miss Scamper. She was fanning the air with a paw.
It keeps wagging, doesn't it?
Yes, ma'am, so it seems. It's been a while since we've had a gorgeous lady on the ranch, don't you see? And the old tail just wants to wag, I guess. She coughed again and gave me a frozen smile.
Maybe we should do a trick.
Right, just what I was thinking. Okay, check this one out. I stood up and walked a short distance away, loosened up my enormous shoulder muscles, and prepared for the trick. Now watch. Bang! I fell to the ground and played dead. I laid there for 15 seconds and didn't even breathe, then leaped to my feet and took a bow. Heh, pretty impressive, huh? I'll bet you thought I was really dead.
I was almost worried sick.
Great. You want to see another one?
If you've got the money, honey, I got the time.
You're covered. Watch this one. I hopped up on my back legs and walked around in a circle. Then, before her very eyes, I shifted to only one leg. Fellers, that was a toughie. To be honest about it, I had never attempted it before, and I'm not sure that any dog in the whole world had ever attempted it. It was that difficult a trick. I shot her a glance and noticed that her eyes had wandered. This lady was hard to impress, but my next variation on the trick would no doubt leave her breathless. Okay, Miss Scamper, watch carefully. This next move will knock your socks off. It was a backwards flip, if you can believe that. Balanced on one leg, I went into a deep crouch, leaped upwards, and kicked my hind legs into the air, and the crucial part of the maneuver is getting your back feet over your head and then around on the other side without breaking your neck in the process. I didn't quite get her done, shall we say, and came up with a crooked neck and sand in my mouth. But the good news was that she was smiling. That made it all worthwhile. Anything to please the ladies, I always say.
Well, what do they call that one?
I call it... I tried to straighten my neck. We call it the... one-leg hop circle with half a flip and a busted neck. It's a world-class stunt.
Oh, thanks.
She fluffed up her ears.
What's next, or is that all?
Well, I... actually, that was probably my best trick, Miss Scamper.
Oh, sure.
But let me hasten to add that I sing. Her eyes swung around and stuck me.
You sing?
Right, I sing, as in la 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 la, you know, singing, music, songs.
And I'll bet we're fixing to hear one, huh?
Oh? Well, sure, I guess I could do one for you.
And let me guess, you wrote it yourself, right?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I did. But how did you know that? She looked away.
I've rapped this track before.
I beg your pardon?
I said, let's hear the song.
Well, sure, if you really... Here we go. Miss Kemper, we just barely met, and I'd like to be your pal. But I'm not the kind of feller who gets silly over gals. See, I'm head of ranch security. I call this ranch my own. I'm used to working hardship and spending time alone. A lot of dogs will lose their heads when a lady comes around. They'll go to howling at the moon and rolling on the ground. But that's not me. It's not my style. I'm more the silent kind. I hold my feelings deep inside this calculating mind. You've got the prettiest big old face this cow dog's ever seen. Miss Kemper, you just blow my mind, you're every puppy's dream. My heart's about to float away like a big old red balloon. I swear I'm thinking seriously about howling at the moon. Oops. Let me get control of things before my feelings show. See, I'm really not the kind of dog who wants the gals to know that I might be impressed at all by the way a lady looks. I try to run this ranch of mine strictly by the book. So don't you expect for me to faint and blush and bow? Did you just wink your eye at me and arch that lovely brow? Now cut that out, Miss Kemper! I'm trying to stay composed. Dadgum the luck, I'm a sitting duck and totally exposed. You've got the prettiest beagle face this cow dog's ever seen. Miss Kemper, you just blow my mind, you're every puppy's dream. You shouldn't wink that eye at me, I'm crazy as a loon. To heck with pals, I love the gals, I'm howling at the moon. To heck with pals, I love the gals, I'm howling at the moon.